Hey, have you ever noticed what happens when you break a branch off of a plant or a branch off of a tree? One of the things that I can remember very vividly in growing up is times when maybe I was out playing in the yard or something and swung from a branch of a tree and broke that branch off. And particularly during the summer, it was full of all those beautiful green leaves. And then, of course, I just left it laying there. And then a couple days later, I went back by there, and those leaves were not vibrant anymore. In fact, they had begun to shrivel up. They had begun to curl up. And essentially what was going on is that that plant was dying because it was cut off from its source of nourishment. The Lord has given us plenty in His Word to tell us about being connected to Him. And that's one of the critical things that we want to look at today as we discover abiding in Christ out of John's Gospel, chapter 15. Grab your Bible, turn to John 15. I'll see you in just a second. Hey folks, welcome to the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church of Oak Ridge, North Carolina. I pray that your week has gone well and God has blessed you in a tremendous way. As just a moment ago I mentioned, we're going to look at abiding in Christ out of John's Gospel in chapter 15. I want you to think about those times when maybe you broke a branch or a leaf or something off of one of your mother's plants when you were growing up, or you've cut something down. Sometimes you're out doing yard work and you've taken that machete or saw or whatever you use, and you've cut those fray branches off, and you've left them there because you didn't have time to pick them up just yet. But then when you come back, it's very noticeable that they are dying. And the reason that they're dying is because they have been cut off from their source of nourishment. And the Lord tells us a lot about that concerning our walk and our relationship with Him. Look with me today at John's Gospel, chapter 15. And we're going to begin reading at verse 1. John chapter 15, beginning with verse 1. It says, "I am the true vine. My God is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burned. If you abide in me and my word abides in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So you will be my disciples. Verse 9, as the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Those things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full." Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you today, again, we ask that you would just speak to us through your word. We're thankful, Lord, for the Holy Spirit, which is our teacher, which is our guide. Father, I just pray right now that in all the things that we say and all the things that we do, they truly magnify you. Lord, I pray that we truly would be found connected to you today, that we might be bearing much fruit as your word tells us. So Lord, help us today to learn from your word. Help us, Father, to draw close to you. And as always, we pray if there's one that doesn't know you, that the conviction would be there in their heart and that you'd give them the courage to surrender over to you. As Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name, amen. All right, a lot of good stuff that we find in John's Gospel chapter 15. And have you ever noticed it in the Word? Jesus always uses familiar things to explain mysteries. I've always said that I love the fact that Jesus taught much of what he taught in parables. In other words, he would tell a story, whether real or hypothetical, to drive a point home. He would use language that everybody knew. He would use examples that everybody could understand. He talked about, in his word, about the promises of mansions. He talks about the Spirit. He talks about peace. He talks about the bread, the light, the door, the good shepherd, the way, the truth, the life. All these things He gave us because there were things that we could understand so that we might be able to relate better to some spiritual truth that the Father was trying to teach us. And when we get to this particular passage, he's talking about, excuse me, the vine and the branches. Now, just like we talked about an illustration, I gave you an illustration as we started our Bible study, one that most of us can understand, where if a branch or a plant leaf or whatever has been broken off of the main trunk, it, all of a sudden it dies. And the reason it dies is because it no longer has what it needs to be able to sustain life and to sustain nourishment. Now, our spiritual lives are much the same way. Jesus has given a great, great lesson about abiding in Him, staying connected to Him. That's why I've said so many times before that when you've trusted in Christ, that is just the beginning of your relationship. He wants you to learn and grow in faith, and He wants you to grow in grace. He wants you to learn the lessons that, that you walk and talk a lot more like Him. But what happens is so many times we get separated or we get disconnected from Him. And when we get disconnected from Him, then our source of strength, our source of nourishment, our source of life gets cut off, and we begin to wither and die spiritually. Now, I'm speaking as a spiritual metaphor here today. So my question is, as we go through today's scriptures, how connected are you? See, that's one of the biggest themes that we have around Central Baptist Church in the year of 2024. We're talking about connections, and the main connection that we need to talk about is our connection with God. Are we staying connected to and with Him that we might truly be able to grow in His grace, that we might be able to learn lessons and wind up being used as instruments in His hands? So that's one of our main points and one of our main focuses for the year of 2024 here at Central Baptist Church. So he says several things as we go back to our text. First of all, one of the things that we need to understand is that he says, I am the true vine. This is in verse 1 of our text. That means Christ. He is the one who is the true vine. And he says, and my Father, which is God, is the vine dresser. In other words, the one that takes care of things. And I love how the scripture goes on and it gives us a great, great illustration of what you need to do or what needs to be done for plants to be able to produce at a maximum. Now, I'm no horticulturist, but I've seen people function in this particular area. And at times I've looked and I've seen them, you know, trim a bush or a fruit tree or something. And I thought, man, you done killed that thing. And he says, oh, no, no. He said, that's fine. What's going to happen is there's going to be new growth the following year. And that new growth is going to not only produce fruit, it is going to produce even more fruit than what it produced in the previous year. So he goes on in verse 2 and he says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Now, that's very, very interesting. Now, you've probably watched your mama or your grandma or somebody who was really good with plants before that comes in. And I know I've had this happen at my house, or somebody who's really good with plants walks in and maybe there's a flower or something over there and it's got a few little dead branches on it. And if you ever notice what mama or grandma will do, they'll go over there and they will take, they'll snap those dead branches off of it because they're of no use. In fact, I remember one time my grandmother say, well, what's going on is I'm taking this off because it is robbing the plant. It is trying its best to be able to provide nutrition. It's trying its best to feed that plant, but all it's doing is it's a waste because this thing is dying. So it snaps it off. Grandma took them and threw them in the trash to give the rest of the plant a better opportunity to be strengthened and nourished as it grows. And it says, go back to verse 2, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. Now, remember what I said a moment ago. If you see somebody who knows what they're doing in those types of situations, there's a certain time of the year that they'll go in and they will prune these plants or prune these trees. And for me, somebody who doesn't know what they're doing, it looks like they're killing the thing. It looks like they're cutting off all this growth on it. And yet they sit back and say, no, that is actually going to be helpful to the plant, and it is going to cause it to produce even more fruit, you know, at the fruit-bearing season of the following year or in the year in which it was trimmed. So they know that. They've seen it. They've experienced it, and they understand how things should work there. And then he goes on, and he says, in verse 3, he says, you are already clean because of my word, which I have spoken to you. And then he gets into the main key, the main thrust, and the thing that I want each and every one of us to see, you know, first and foremost today. In verse 4, he says this. He says, abide in me, and I in you. In other words, what's another way we can say that? When he says, abide in me. In other words, he's saying, stay connected to me. Yeah, every one of us that if we follow the Lord for any amount of time have probably had those moments in our lives when, you know, we've sat back, and maybe it's even now when you've said, yeah, there was a time in my life when I was walking closer to the Lord. There was a time in my life when my devotional life was better, my prayer life was better, and spiritually all around I was better. And then I will promise you that if that's you and you go back, look at what your connection to the Father was back then when things were good. And look at it now. I will make you a promise. I will guarantee you 100% that you are not connected during those down times like you were when the times were good. You know, you weren't getting the nourishment, the strength, to soothe the spiritual soul, as it were, to strengthen it and feed it along the way. So is that you today? Well, guess what? The Holy Spirit has already pointed out one of the issues that you need to deal with, one of the main issues that you need to deal with to be able to go forward in a way that is pleasing to him. So he says this. He says in verse 4, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot, did you get that? As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Yeah, the Lord tells us that we're to produce the fruits of the Spirit. That's what the Word tells us. And as you look at your life, and as the Holy Spirit speaks to you right now, is your life producing the fruits of the Spirit? Now, you've heard the little song, maybe the little kids have sang it before, but what are the fruits of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Those are fruits of the Spirit. Is your life producing that? Is there fruit that shows that the Father is at work in your life? And I love what he said. He comes straight to the point. He doesn't beat around the bush when he says this. He says, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. You cannot be what God wants you to be if you are not abiding in him or being connected continually to him. You know, I've said that before. If you break a branch off of an apple tree, you're going to watch it essentially begin to die within the next few days. And I will make you a promise. It is not going to put apples on that broken off branch. It will not do it. It cannot. It doesn't have what it takes to be able to do that. So spiritually, if you are broken off, if you are disconnected from the Father, then neither can you bear the fruit that the Father has called all of his children to be able to bear. So let's go on with our scripture. Verse 5 says, once again, I am the vine. Remember who we're talking about? Who's the vine? Christ is the vine. He says, I am the vine. You are the branches. You know, it says, he who abides in me. There's that word. It keeps on being stated over and over and over in this passage. Abide, abide, abide. Be connected, be connected, be connected. Okay? It says, you know, he who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. It doesn't say it just bears some fruit. It says bears much fruit. Why? Because when you are connected to him, he gives you everything that you need to be all that he wants you to be able to produce the kind of fruit that is relative to the kingdom. You know, whatever that fruit may be. You know, like we said, the fruits of the Spirit are a lot of those things. You can identify those. Those are readily identifiable. So it says, not only are you going to bear fruit, you're going to bear a lot of fruit. And why? Let's go on with our verse. It says, it says, bears much fruit, for without me, that's Christ, for without me, you can do nothing. You cannot do it in and of yourself. If you think that you can live this life and be what God wants you to be without being connected to him, you are sorely mistaken. You cannot do it. You have got to be connected with him. And then he goes on and he says this. He says, if anyone does not abide in me, and maybe that's where you find yourself today. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. Remember when I said a moment ago about mama or grandma, when they go and they break those branches off? They don't go out there and try to replant them. They just snap them off and disregard them. They throw them in a garbage can, or they throw them in a rubbish pile somewhere, because they're no longer of any use. You know, now the question is spiritually, how useful are you to the kingdom? What kind of fruit are you producing? What kind of fruit are you bearing for the Father? And I will make you the promise, because the Word of God promises this: you're not going to be bearing any kind of fruit, any kind of good fruit, unless you are connected or abiding in the Father. Unless you're abiding in the Father, and unless you're abiding in Christ, then there's no way. The Word tells us it's impossible for you to be what God wants you to be. Then he goes on and he says this. He says, if. This is a conditional statement. You've heard it before, maybe growing up in school or even using it. It's an if-then statement. In other words, if something happens, then something else will happen. So he brings up a conditional statement in verse 7, and he says this: if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. Now, I want you to understand, I am not by any stretch of the imagination preaching or teaching prosperity theology here. Because here's something that you need to understand, that if you are abiding in Christ, then you will know how to properly pray for something. And he also goes on in this passage and he tells us that the things that we are praying for, the things that we should be asking for, are things that should be bringing honor and glory to the Father. That is the key. It's not about our selfish prayers, and it's not about what we want. I love it when you trace it all the way back to the Lord's Prayer, and most people know that, where it says, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Now get this: thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Do you get what that's saying? It's saying your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as you have it prescribed in heaven. You know what? Sometimes we pray, and it's all right to pray. I've prayed for in a selfish manner before and said, "Lord, I'd love for you to touch and heal this particular person." But the thing about it is, people say, "Well, God didn't answer your prayer. God took that person home." And I said, "Well, it depends on how you look at it." I said, that person was a believer, so God taking them home, they have been healed. They've been ultimately healed. They weren't healed the way I wanted them to be healed, so that they would still be on earth with me. But the bottom line is, they're healed. That's one way of looking at it. And then the other way of looking at it is saying, you know what? Sometimes God says no. Sometimes God says, that's not the will that I have for that person as outlined and prescribed in heaven. And you know what? That's okay too. It's all right for you to ask. But the one thing we must constantly do is yield to the fact that God's will is always best and God's will is always right. So understand that when it comes to that verse, it's not teaching prosperity theology that if I say, "Oh, okay, well, I want a new Rolls Royce, so Lord, give me a new Rolls Royce," and expect to get that. That's not what this verse is saying. It's saying that as you abide in him and as you are connected to him, then you will actually know better and more proper ways to be able to pray about the situations and circumstances at hand. And when you're praying it for the right reason. And what is the right reason? Let's go on down to verse 8. "By this my Father is glorified." Did you get that part of it? In other words, when he answers that prayer, when he gives to you what it is that you're praying for, it says that by this, in other words, the way that prayer is answered has to be so that the Father can be glorified, not so that you personally can be glorified. Once again, verse 8, "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so that you will be my disciples." And he's sitting there saying, it is pleasing to the Father when you are bearing much fruit. You know, most of us don't want a plant that is not going to bear fruit. I've shared an example here at Central Baptist before about the time when we planted a rhododendron, I guess you call it a bush, rhododendron plant, whatever you want to call it, out in the front of the house. And for years, that sucker never would produce a flower. It wouldn't do it. The plant was there, it would turn green. And for me, I'm sitting there saying, well, that's not your purpose. Your purpose is to produce a beautiful rhododendron flower. I grew up with those, I've seen them. So if you're not going to do your job, then there's no room for you in the natural area in the front garden of the home. And actually, you know, I threatened, I told Jana, I said, if that sucker doesn't bloom this year, I'm taking it out. I'm going to cut it down and I'm going to throw it away because it is not fulfilling its purpose. Okay. And of course, she would talk me into letting it go one more year. Well, then all of a sudden, several years later, when the time for them to bloom came around, all of a sudden there were beautiful, gorgeous rhododendron flowers on that rhododendron plant. And I thought, well, that is it. Now it's finally gotten everything that it needs to be able to produce the type of fruit that we're expected. And that rhododendron is still out front in the natural garden area to this day. It will still bloom. It still puts pretty flowers on it. And every now and then it'll take a year off. And I'll wonder, okay, am I going to have to cut this thing down again? Or do I have to threaten it? Or what do I need to do to get this thing to do what it is supposed to do? Now, when you look at that, and you look at it from the spiritual side of things, think about God's children. If you're one of his plants, like that rhododendron plant, there is an expectation that you bear fruit. Yet that's how people know who you are. And another thing, too, is that a rhododendron plant is not going to grow roses. It's not that way. You know, he goes in his word and tells us much about that as well. An apple tree doesn't produce oranges. An orange tree doesn't produce grapes. It's the type of tree that you are. If you are a spiritual, born-again believer, then you should produce the fruits of the Spirit. You should produce the things that are in accordance and in keeping with this word. So what are the fruits that people see, if any, on your spiritual branches when they look at you on a daily basis? So let's continue on with a look at our scripture today. Now, down in verse 9, it says, "As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love." Remember, stay connected to my love. There's that word again, abide. Remember we talked, the title of our Bible study today is abiding in Christ, or staying connected to him. And yet here we see it again. And as the Father loved me, verse 9, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. And then verse 10, if you keep my commandments. Here's another one of those if-then statements. And I want you to pay careful attention to it because I think that it's critical. In verse 10, it says, "If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love." This is one of the ways of abiding in his love, is by keeping his commandments. Are we doing that? And I will guarantee you that if you're in that far off country spiritually, you're not keeping what his word says. If you have become disconnected, you're not keeping what his word says. Yeah, you know, I've said this a bunch of times, that when somebody comes to me and they say, "Man, my life is just not going well," the very first question I ask them is, "How's your devotional life?" And I have never had a person say, "Well, hey, my devotional life is great. I'm learning a lot. Life is just, you know." Nope. Every single time it's been, "Well, my devotional life is pretty non-existent." You know what's happened to that person? They have become disconnected. They are no longer abiding in Christ. They are no longer bearing fruit. And they see that. They don't want it. They want to change that. And the first thing, if that's you, the first thing you've got to do is you have to reconnect to the vine. He said, "I am the vine. You are the branches." Get reconnected. Tap back into the source of strength, the source of guidance, which is your Heavenly Father and the Holy Spirit as they lead us and guide us. He says again in verse 10, he says, "If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." And then our final verse that we're looking at says, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full." Now, I love this because we've heard this saying in songs before. You've heard preachers talk about it, and Sunday school teachers and small group leaders and mature Christians. That the word tells us that the joy of the Lord is our strength. Where does that joy come from? See, the joy doesn't come from the circumstances and situations that are happening in our life. Most of you that have known me for any amount of time realize that I title that circumstantial faith. You see, our joy should never be based on our ever-changing circumstances, because that's a daily thing. Our circumstances change day to day, and often moment to moment. But go back to that verse. He says this. He says that "these things I have spoken to you, that that my joy," his joy, "might remain in you, and that your joy may be full." And when your joy is full, other people see that. when they see that and understand that, man, I'll tell you, that's something incredible. And what happens when you abide in Christ? Well, when you abide in Christ, according to verse 7, that makes our prayers effectual. I like that word. That's kind of a church term, but it makes our prayers effective or effectual. Yeah. Notice what the word says. It says, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. That's James chapter 5, verse 16. Now, I also want to let you know that sin in your heart hinders answers to prayer. And sometimes people sit back and say, oh, well, you know, God hears. Yeah, God does hear it. But sin, harboring sin in your heart can hinder your prayers. There's a passage in Psalm 66, and I want to challenge you to write this down and go back and check me on it. Okay? But Psalm 66, verse 18 says that if we regard iniquity in our heart, God does not hear our prayers. I want you to think about that for a moment. Now, that's talking about even a believer. Now, that's not to say he's not going to hear our prayers, but have you ever had that situation when somebody's been doing wrong or done you wrong? Most of the time, it's either your children or you were the child that had this done to you, and somebody's going, oh, no, I don't want to hear it. No, stop. I don't want to hear it. Until you get this right, I don't want to hear what you have to say. Okay? Look, check it out. I'm not asking you just to believe and trust me. Psalm 66, 18. I want you to go to that. And if you regard iniquity in your heart, then God's not going to hear what your prayers are. Okay? The importance, there's also the importance of that consistent prayer life. You need to be praying to the Father in the times of trials. You need to be praying. How about the times in your life when when that fever was raging within your child? Man, you hit your knees in a hurry then. That was the effectual, the fervent and effectual prayer. How about when there's a financial collapse that seems imminent in your family because of whatever happened? Maybe a job was lost or whatever. All of a sudden, your prayer life gets a whole lot sharper than it was before, doesn't it? How about when that health diagnosis that you got from the doctor was not a good one and it feels like your strength is gone? All of a sudden, people become major prayer warriors in the midst of that. Well, folks, it shouldn't be that just in those situations are the times that we become the prayer warriors and that we remain connected to God. We need to remain connected to Him when the times are good as well as when the times are bad. Yeah, to abide in Him is to always be prayed up. Are you prayed up? Man, nothing of eternal significance is ever accomplished outside of prayer, okay? So to abide in Him also makes our fruit perpetual. Remember, it said we're talking about bearing fruit in this thing. There's the guarantee of continued fruitfulness, not just a temporary season, okay? You and I are chosen to bear fruit as His children, and the fruit will remain, according to what the Scripture says, as we stay connected to Him, and that's the key to it. Yeah, the fruit of the Spirit is in every reaction of the day. Whatever we do, whoever we come in contact with, are we revealing the fruits of the Spirit in our lives? Are our lives showing forth love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control? Are those things what people see in you in your everyday notion and your everyday arrival? Because what happens is when they do, they don't see you, they see Christ. But when they see the opposite of that, they just sit back and say, oh, well, you know, that God stuff is just something they do on Sunday to show off their new suit or to be a part of the social club. And that's not what God wants from us. That actually hurts our testimony. Yeah, we may not even be aware of some of the fruit bearing that we are actually doing. You know, I love some of the scriptures that tell us that when it talked about Moses coming down from Mount Sinai and his face was shining. He wasn't looking in a mirror. He didn't realize that. But others saw that, and others saw that he had been in the presence of God. Yeah, he was unaware that that his face was even shining. So when people saw him, it was kind of like, hey, man, you got a little something going on there. Okay? And then finally, you know, to abide in Him is what makes our joy, I like this term, celestial. You know, earthly obedience brings heavenly joy. And what are we to be obedient to? We're to be obedient to Him. We're to be obedient to His Word. It says in Hebrews 12:2, the joy that was set before Him. And one of the things that I think about in regard to that particular walk and taking circumstances out of it is particularly Paul and Silas. And many of us know that particular story. They were thrown in prison. They were beaten and thrown in prison for preaching the gospel. And even while they were in prison, Paul and Silas were joyful. If you want to check that out, you can look at Acts chapter 16, particularly verses 25 through 32. There was heavenly joy as they sat in that dungeon, not knowing what was going to happen to them next. There was heavenly joy when their backs were bruised and bleeding, where they had been whipped with that whip. There was heavenly joy at midnight as they gathered and as they sang those hymns of praise to the Father. And there was heavenly joy that caused the earthquake that shook and shook those bars and the shackles and everything else loose from them. And yet they stayed there because they were experiencing the joy of the Lord, even amidst some pretty tough circumstances and situations. You see, believers are earth's example of heavenly joy. And if that's the case, then what kind of example are you to those that are around you? If you were to be in somebody's life the example of heaven's joy, are they having an accurate picture of what heaven should look like? You know, this joy should remain in us according to what these scriptures tell us. And this joy is something that is full. So I want you to know today that God is calling each and every one of us to the abiding life. And remember what that means, the connected life. Are you abiding in Him? Okay? Are you confessed up any known sin in your life? Have you confessed that? Have you repented to the Father of those things? And are you in constant communion with Him? Are you praying each and every day without ceasing? Are you having those conversations with God just like you would your best friend about each and everything that's going on through your day? Yeah, remain connected to Him if you want to be the blessing that He has called you to be and that He's called me to be. Then that is how we're going to have to do that. All these blessings are the ones, you know, who call us friends. Think about it for a minute. The people who see us and know us that call us friend, they should see those things within us. And abiding in Jesus, we are ever closer than earthly friends can ever be. When you abide in Him, I love what the Word tells us. It says Jesus walks with us, He sticks with us, and He sticks to us even closer than what a brother would. So the question today, the big overriding question is, are you truly abiding in Christ? We're going to pray for you in that manner here in just a moment, but I want to tell you what we're going to be looking at, the passages we're going to be reading for this week as we look forward to our next week together here on the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church. This week, I want you to spend some time in the book of Hosea, chapter 6. Once again, that is Hosea, chapter 6, and next week, we're going to discuss let us return to the Lord. That's the way I titled it, us returning to the Lord. When we've gotten away from Him, what do we need to do to return to Him? And that's what we're going to discover over in Hosea chapter 6. And we're really going to deal with verse 1 as we go about that. So let me have a word of prayer with you as we close our time together today. Our Father, we come to you again and we thank you for your love and your mercy upon us. Father, I'm thankful that you have given us instruction. And Lord, one of the biggest constructions, one of the easiest things for us to fail in is that connection with you, that abiding in you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, in all the aspects of our work life, our family life, our going outs and our coming ins. Lord, I pray that you would just help us to cling to you like life itself. And Lord, I pray then that we would truly seek the joy that comes in abiding in you, that we might not only experience that joy, but Lord, that others would see that joy in us and they would want what we have. Help us, Father, to be instruments in your hand. And Lord, we do ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, folks, again, I want to thank you for taking these moments to spend with us around God's Word for the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church. As always, if you don't have a church home, we would love for you to come visit with us at Central Baptist in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. We're located at 1715 Highway 68. If you are familiar with that particular area, we're right across the street from the Oak Ridge Military Academy. Our services begin at 10:45 a.m., and we would love to have you worship with us in spirit and in truth, and then discover some of the other opportunities of discipleship that we have through Central Baptist. I pray that God's going to give you a great week, that He's going to fill you with joy, and I pray that if you're walking away from Him, that He'll give you the strength to reconnect, that you might truly abide in Him and experience that joy. God bless you. Have a great rest of your week. I'll see you Sunday.